Well, I would like to add another time to that period of the list of times in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, though I think it is implied in several of the time periods mentioned. And that is a time to wait. And unfortunately, that is not one of the time periods that we humans are very good at, especially in 21st century American culture. We are all about going as fast as we can and about doing as much as we can. And often when we do that, we get ahead of God, and we often pay dearly for doing that. Sometimes we even go on ahead without Him altogether. The Bible is full of stories of people, many God's people, who went on ahead of Him or even without Him, resulting in some very drastic consequences. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving, which was originally an American religious holiday, which was created to give God thanks for all the blessings that He has given us, particularly the blessing of the harvest for that particular year. There is a reason that Thanksgiving comes at the end of the harvest season, fall. Next Sunday starts a very different kind of season, the season of Advent, which is all about waiting. Advent comes at the beginning of the winter season, which is far different than the season of fall. During fall, especially during the harvest, especially around here if you drive around, it's quite evident to see God's creation at work. During winter, it's not so great. But rest assured, God is at work. Rest assured, God is at work. In fact, God does some of His best work when we are at rest. How important is rest in the eyes of God? Well, it's so important that He listed it in His list of His top 10 commandments. In the midst of, you shall not use the name of God in vain, or not make any idols for yourself, and you shall not kill, nor steal, nor commit adultery, God commands that we should rest. One whole day out of seven. It says in Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Yes, the Sabbath is supposed to be a day holy, which means set apart for God, to honor Him. But just as important as that, it is supposed to be a day for us. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was and is a gift to us. I don't know about you, especially if you know this or not, but God didn't need a Sabbath day. God is God. He did not need a day to rest, but He does know that we do. It is God who created and oversees the different times, the different seasons, not just in the bigger picture, but also in the seasons of our lives, to fulfill His purposes and to shape us into the people that He wants us to become. Something that never ends during our time period on earth. God created certain rhythms for our lives to help sustain us for the journey, like night and day. Though with the invention of electricity and technology, we pretty much have destroyed that rhythm. In the 2-year spiritual transformation class that I just finished up on, one of the requirements that we had to do over that time period is that we had to figure out just how much sleep our body needs. And in order to do that, you need to eliminate all the distractions, and you need to allow yourself not to have to get up at any specific time. And you probably need to do it on several different occasions. But the question is, do you know how much sleep your body really needs? Everybody's is different, and it changes in the different seasons of our life. It seems that teenagers need about 20 hours of sleep. And there's a reason for that. Scientific studies have shown that teenagers need somewhere between 14 and 17 hours of sleep a night to function most effectively. The older we get, we don't need as much unless we get a little bit older than older, and then we need more sleep again. So do you know how much sleep you need? For most people, it's somewhere between 7 and 9 hours per night. And one might be able to go a long period of time without getting what one really needs, as I look out and see Aaron yawning in the back. And if you have children at home, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you don't get the amount of sleep you need, it eventually will start affecting you adversely. And one of the other rhythms that God has given us is of work and rest. That is the principle of the Sabbath. And just as what happens when one abuses his or her body and doesn't get its correct amount of sleep, when one abuses the Sabbath rhythm of work and Sabbath, it will eventually catch up with him or her, and it will usually result in some unhealthy ways. And the opposite of that is true as well. That if we honor God and ourselves with the Sabbath, we usually reap a good harvest. And just like with our crops, it's mostly not our doing, but God's doing. In the book of Isaiah, these words are from the great prophet speaking the words of God. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my most holy of days, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy days of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, but in serving your own interest or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights. The interesting thing is, if you look at the Ten Commandments, whereas the other nine commandments begin with the words, thou shall not, the Sabbath begins with the one word, remember. One of the main points of the Sabbath is that it helps us to remember all that God has done throughout history and in our own lives, and that God is God and we are not. And yes, we say that we really do believe that God is in control, but more often than not, we don't live our lives like we think God is in control. Our natural human tendency is to think that if I just try a little bit harder, or if I work a little bit longer, then I will be able to accomplish what I think I need to accomplish. Often relating what I think I need to accomplish with what God really wants me to accomplish, which is not always the same thing. God has intentionally set limits on our life. But it's also to note that God is not downplaying the importance of work in our lives. Throughout the Bible, there are several places where God commands his people to work if they are able. Not only to put food on their table, but to help those who are less fortunate and in need. The first rhythm ever established by God was to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, the Sabbath. In fact, the rhythm was established long before God ever gave his Ten Commandments. The rhythm of work and rest was created at the beginning, at creation. The most faithful Jewish people have followed that rhythm throughout their history. For Christians, the first day of the week became the Sabbath, symbolizing and remembering Jesus' resurrection, which occurred on the first day of the week. In the book of Hebrews, which is a New Testament book, though its name might indicate otherwise, the writer says, "Therefore, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. And whoever enters into God's rest rests from his own works as God did from his. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience." Well, as a whole, it seems like the Jewish people have done a better job of remembering their Sabbath than we Christians have done as remembering ours. There are lots of writings out there, both past and present, about how just meaningful the Sabbath has been to the Jewish people. But not all Jewish people celebrate the Sabbath, just like many Christians. Jewish scholar Abraham Heschel might have captured it best on what the Jewish people who do practice the Sabbath have discovered. He writes, "The Sabbath is the most precious gift that humankind has received from the treasure house of God." Well, of course, most Jewish people do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God or that he is the Messiah. So the Sabbath might be their most precious gift. But for us Christians, the most precious gift is Jesus Christ. But the Sabbath might come close to being the second, because the gift of Jesus and the Sabbath are actually related. The Sabbath is a gift from God. In Hebrews chapter 4, the author is not so much talking about just one day a week as he is of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the gift of rest from the work of our own salvation. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When we remember the Sabbath, we are reminded that God's work is more important than ours, and that God is at work in the waiting. Often in Scripture, and it's often hard to miss, but if you read it carefully, there's a fairly long delay between the moment of God's call on somebody's life, or the experience of God's presence, or a vision which seemed to be from God about something in the future, and that thing actually coming to pass. And those times can be referred to as the in-between times. Just in case you think you might be a patient person, think about this. For Abraham and Sarah, the in-between time was 25 years. 25 years between when God told them that he would provide them with a son that would be the beginning of a great nation, descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and earth, and when Isaac was finally born. And the Bible tells us of the drastic consequences of Abraham and Sarah trying to take matters into their own hands during that in-between time. Consequences that have lasted until this day, thousands of years later. For Joseph in the Old Testament, it was some 20 years from when he first received a vision of God's plan for his life at the age of 17, And when it was finally fulfilled, when he was 37, becoming Potiphar's cupbearer, and perhaps Joseph not getting so far ahead of himself and bragging about what God had planned for him in the future, might have saved him from a lot of the same things that he experienced from his brothers. Moses spent 40 years after fleeing Egypt, tending the flocks in the wilderness before God finally appeared to him, sending him back to flee his people from slavery. It was 25 years when David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel, and when he finally assumed the throne. And the book I'm currently reading about the Apostle Paul points out that it was about 10 years between the time Saul, who would become Paul, experienced the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Barnabas appeared to him in Tarsus to officially begin their ministry together. There's something very important, very special about the in-between times. And why do I bring that up today? Because as a church, we are about to enter two very important in-between times. The first one is next Sunday when we start the in-between time of Advent. For the first Christians, Advent symbolizes the waiting for Jesus' birth. Today, Advent is about preparing ourselves as not only we remember Jesus' first birth, but also it symbolizes our waiting for his second coming, the in-between time. And the second in-between time that we are about to enter is the in-between time of pastoral transition from one lead pastor to the next. And in both those in-between times, the time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming, and the time between my stepping down and whoever the next lead pastor may be, is a time of unknown. But here's the really good news. If you pray really hard for Jesus' second coming, and it comes very soon, I can guarantee you will not worry about who the next lead pastor is going to be at Oak Grove. But one of the questions is, for both the time periods, is are we going to put our faith and trust that God is God and that he is already at work and he knows what best and that his timing is perfect? And the second question is, are we going to be thankful and are we going to give thanksgiving to God during the times of waiting? How important is gratitude and thanksgiving to God? I think it's the most important thing that we can give him. Because the greatest thing he has already given us, himself, his own son, Jesus Christ. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do to even come close to fulfilling that. The only thing that we can do is to give him thanks. I think I've mentioned it before, but if not, or just in case you forgot, I have some concerns about using the Bible version, the Message, as a version of the Bible to use on a regular basis, being that it's only one person's interpretation of the Bible. But it is a good book to have alongside whatever Bible version you usually read. And there are some passages that I think Eugene Peterson has nailed it. Like in Romans chapter 12 or in John chapter 1 verse 14 where he says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." And then there is Psalm 100, which is probably the most popular Thanksgiving psalm. This is from the New International Version. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And this is Eugene Peterson's translation of that psalm. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter his gates with the password. What's the password? Thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we do have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for those time periods in which we can clearly see you at work. And Lord, we are thank you. We thank you for the time periods in which are the unknown, which are the times that are in between. Those times that you do your best work, especially during the season of Advent, as we await your second coming. And we celebrate your first coming in the form of the baby in the manger, which came to save us all from our sin. Nothing that we can do on our own, but only to give you thanks and to put our faith and trust in him. In his name we pray. Amen.